So I think there is a balance. I think for me, what I've really found in the last 6 months is really being intentional about taking time for myself, mm-hmm. In the way of like health, mm-hmm. and really carving out time every day to do something physical.
Yeah.
And I think for me, mentally is like so important.
Wondering what it takes to succeed in business? Welcome to the Hustle Podcast, where we share genuine stories of success and failure to guide you on your journey to achieving your goals.
Okay, so we are back for part two of interviewing Chris Reznor, because you're just a wealth of knowledge and you have so much to extract. We could do part 10, but we'll do part two. If you didn't catch our first episode, we talked a lot about Dutch Bros. Just, I feel like that's like your core foundation of like where you've gotten into business, how you've kind of gotten your mind wrapped around of managing employees, managing money, calculated risk, all those things. And then obviously meeting Aaron, which is half of you in, you know, your weak parts of running your business. A couple of things I think that I really want to extract on this episode. You obviously have jumped into different adventures. We'll get into Maybe James, which is your newest business endeavor, I would personally think. But something that I think would be really cool for people that are listening, especially probably even myself, where we're at in our business. You're 20 years into your business. You have a family. You have kids, you have a beautiful wife, all that. And you've found kind of like your success in your lane. How, I know on the last episode, you really said that you don't find work-life balance really your motto. It's kind of life is life and we do it all together. So what have you found is like your best way of balance to know when to turn on work, when to turn off work, how to pour into work, how to know when to like, you know, how do you find that balance? Cause I feel like as an entrepreneur, it's like that hustle, grind, do what it takes, whatever it takes to get you to the top. But sometimes it can get so heavily focused that you just don't know when to shut off. And it's like almost like before you jump in, one thing like for like nursing, when I was like in nursing, it was like a successful career, work 3-12s, you clock in, you clock out. But with entrepreneurship, I always feel like you have a ceiling. It's like, when do you stop that ceiling? You know?
That's good. I think when we first opened, it was a lot easier to manage that because we didn't have kids. So it was just like, let's just work all the time, you know, and it's fun and we're doing this together.
Yeah.
And then now, since I have started a new business, it's like I'm back in startup days. And I think the challenge, and I've seen this already, like, and I know that this is a challenge with people that have seen success and then they launch something new, that it's very easy for me to be like, fall back on my other stuff. So I'm really trying to like stay in this headspace of like, we're launching a brand new business and it has to work. Like it can't fail because the reality is it could fail and we would be okay.
Yeah.
You know, like I have a lot of money in it, but I'm also like Dutch Bros is doing well. And it's like, we have a good system there.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to like stay in this like lean, like hustle mindset of I'm a startup again. And, but it is challenging now because we have 4 kids, 15, 10, 7, and 3, and they're all busy and they're doing their different things, sports. You know, Beckett's a freshman in high school. And,
crazy.
And then we have a 3-year-old who's crazy. And so he's amazing, but he's crazy. And so like there is this balance that's tough because my natural tendency is to like want to work because it's fun, especially now it's fun. Like we're in the brand new, we're getting orders and like we get an order at, you know, 11 PM. I want to go pack it right then. It's like, I want to go down and pack this. But then I'm like, well, I also should probably sleep because that's valuable time to take advantage of. I should do that.
Yeah.
So I think there is a balance. I think for me, what I've really found in the last 6 months is really being intentional about taking time for myself in the way of like health and really carving out time every day to do something physical.
Yeah.
And I think for me mentally is like so important.
Yeah.
And in the past I've been terrible at that because I would just be like, well, I can, somebody will hit me up and say like, hey, you want to have lunch? And on my calendar, I have res workout noon to one.
Yeah.
But then I'm like, meh, I'll work out tonight after everybody goes to sleep, but then I won't.
Yeah.
So now it's like, I'm being intentional about, no, I'm going to do this because it's important for me. You know, I'm going to be 49 in a couple of weeks and I want to be the same dad for my 3-year-old that I've been for my 15-year-old. And I want to be able to snowboard in I mean, that's been hitting me. It's like, I'm going to be 60 when my 3-year-old is the age of my 15-year-old.
Yeah.
And so I want to like be that same dad and be able to do these things. And so I have to have balance.
Yeah.
Even though I don't like saying it.
Routine.
Yeah. But routine is so important. And like using our calendar is so important. And I remember talking to our managers about this a few years ago about like, hey, you guys need to put everything in your life in your calendar. Mm-hmm. And then they're like, well, it's so like not spontaneous. Like, and I'm like, well, you cannot operate at a high level without like having everything planned out.
Yeah. If it, my coach always says, if it doesn't, if it's not in your calendar, it doesn't exist.
Yeah.
And so like, I even have like my morning routine, half my team sees my calendar. They know everything about what I'm doing, but my morning routine's in the calendar. Like and then for me, like once you like build that, it becomes clockwork. It becomes a discipline. It's like now my body internally wakes up at 4:30. I get to the gym at 5. If I skip the gym, cause I want to feel lazy, it's just like a snowball of like a terrible day just cause it's like, it doesn't get my gears going. So
yeah, it's important. And we're the same way. Like I have like 5 people that share my calendar. Mm-hmm. And so if I don't, if I don't put something in my calendar and I'm like, oh, I'll just do it in my free time.
I'll check, find my friends, see where you're at.
Well, if I don't put it in the calendar, then it doesn't look like to the rest of my team that I have anything going on. So then sometimes they'll schedule stuff in that space, like for me or for me to like pick up a kid or something. And I'm like, hey, I was going to go for a run. And they're like, well,
it wasn't in your calendar.
Like you didn't have anything going on. I'm like, dang it. I got to carve out everything in there. So I have all the time.
Going to the bathroom.
But I think that that's been important for just that kind of that work-life balance. And then Aaron and I really, years ago, we started doing this, but we're really intentional about like every week, Thursday night is date night. Mm-hmm. And it happens every week. Mm-hmm. And I think that's important, especially being married, being in business together. Mm-hmm. It is, you know, it's like there's challenges and there's
You're talking about work all the time.
Yeah, there is. And some of that's fun, but sometimes it's also like, feels like you're at, you know, dinner with a business partner. Yeah. But
how was the numbers today, sweetie?
But I mean, I wouldn't want it any different. Like, it's hard for me to wrap my brain around like if a husband and wife that have different kind of lives in terms of their work.
Yeah.
That seems kind of crazy. Like it works obviously. And that's probably the majority of people, but I like that we do the same thing, but we definitely are intentional about trying to like spend time together as like friends and dating, you know, because just otherwise, normal. Just being normal. And so I think that that's an important part of like that balance.
Yeah. And I think that like helps support. Cause at the end of the day, like, I think everybody will always say like, why are you doing what you do? Like, what's your why? What's your passion? What makes you get up in the day or like every day and everything like that? And if it's like, you're not pouring back into that and you're only just pouring into like your business, your numbers, your calculations, that's only becomes what is your focus. Yeah. And that's only what you become obsessed with. And you don't become obsessed. I mean, Dylan and I've always said, we like are obsessed with our legacy. Like what's our legacy? We don't have kids. This isn't a pregnancy announcement, but
surprise,
Chris, <ta-da>. And the views go
blue.
Wild.
Blue thing pops out.
Thanks for the baby. This is not, it's just like, what's your legacy that you're building essentially. And I think that, if you don't have that, that also is your partnership built into your time spent together, reevaluating what you're doing for your business. And it's just like a numbers goal. It becomes so mundane and less passionate. And then it just becomes like, oh, we didn't hit our sales or we didn't hit this. And it becomes work, not like actually like your passion.
For sure.
So moving into, you got kids, you got life, you're now in the startup. So now I can feel, now maybe somebody can feel like, okay, like you're doing real life. You obviously have Dutch Bros as your backup, as something successful, but you being so disciplined, I feel like can separate that and say like, I have to succeed at this, no matter if this has been successful, which is really cool. So Maybe James obviously launched, and for those of you who don't know, is kind of your new baby line product based off of real life, you know, issues that you had with your kiddos growing up with diaper rashes, and you doing the grind and the hustle of finding something to work for your family in your literally kitchen.
Yeah.
So now being at this startup phase of Maybe James and everything like that, what's kind of, besides staying focused and the grind, this is so different for you. I mean, it's kind of similar. It's a product, you're selling a product, yeah. but it's a little bit different because now it's marketing it differently.
Yeah.
It's not like so customer to customer, or face to face, I should say.
Yeah.
So how is this differ, than Dutch Bros, and what's kind of, I guess, been your like success and struggle with it?
Yeah, that's a tough one.
I'm asking all the deep questions.
Yeah, I think that naturally I excel in connecting with people mm-hmm. and like that face-to-face interaction. And so all of a sudden being like a direct consumer brand mm-hmm. and trying to communicate that vision that we're still ultimately about the same thing. Like mm-hmm. I want to make an impact mm-hmm. and on a bigger scale. That's kind of how this whole thing started, was like, what else can I do? Mm-hmm. And can I be successful outside of our little bubble that we've seen
local
success in here?
Yeah.
And can I do it again?
Mm-hmm.
And in this entrepreneur, like, you know, self-doubt kind of things of like, what, did I just get lucky? You know, mm-hmm. is it like, did I have any part of this, or was it mm-hmm. right timing? And can mm-hmm. I do this again? Mm-hmm. And so that was kind of the start of it. Mm-hmm. But I think that the challenge is we're just in a whole new space. It's mm-hmm. like understanding analytics and ad spend. And what I'm seeing is people love our product. People yeah. love it. They love the packaging. That's
yeah,
the first
it's
thing
beautiful.
Everybody said. I mean, that's where I really geeked out on the aesthetic of it and the feel and the customer experience and the touch and all of those things. I wanted people to see it and feel it before they ever experienced the product to really be like, wow. These mm-hmm. guys like took a lot of time in mm-hmm. the details, like the product must be good.
Yeah.
And so that was important to me. That's why it took 5 years mm-hmm. of working on this before we actually launched it. But the hard part now is like, everybody loves it. They love the products, but like, how do I get it to these people
mm-hmm.
in Reading? You know, on a small scale with drive-through coffee, you just hand people a coffee
yeah,
and with a smile, and mm-hmm. it's like, the product's great. And it's easy.
Yeah.
Really.
Everybody needs coffee every
yeah,
day.
You just love on people and give them free stuff. And then people, if it's a product's good, then they come back.
Yeah.
And so, but now it's like, well, how do I do this? How do I reach people mm-hmm. in a space that I'm not good at? And so
yeah.
we've spent money hiring teams, you know, mm-hmm. we have ad teams and we have marketing guys, and we're like just people that are smarter than me in that space. And I'm spending hours watching YouTube videos of mm-hmm. people that are in direct to consumer space and trying to understand like those metrics. I have this entire, like I've all been on all these calls with marketing mm-hmm. people, and they use so many acronyms.
You're like, slow it down.
Oh,
talk
my
to me
gosh.
Like I'm three.
I'm like on Zoom calls, like trying to Google, like what's a AMER, and what's a ROR, like a ROAS and a ROIC and all these things.
Yeah,
it's like they have to do with ad spend things and like,
wow.
you know, your return on invested mm-hmm. income and, you know, an
AMER. Does this
and,
change like how you, I mean, because Dutch Bros is totally different, but has this changed how you do Dutch Bros or operate your Dutch Bros business or?
No, I would say no.
Just kind of different.
Yeah. It's just, this is totally different. I still want to make an impact in families
mm-hmm.
and in people and in communities.
Yeah.
It's just through a different medium
mm-hmm.
and trying to get that story out
mm-hmm.
is now, simple in one aspect because you're like, all right, well, you just got to spend money
yeah.
and run ads.
Yeah.
And people see we have to have good content. And now mm-hmm. all of a sudden we're trying to create content all the time because we're like a content company now.
Yeah.
But the cool thing is that the product is great and it
yeah.
works. And so just getting it into people's hands and making connections. I think that one thing that's fun,
mm-hmm.
And I just talked with our team about this today, is that we're so small. It feels like the early days of Dutch Bros. Like I have mm-hmm. a little team. I have like four guys.
Yeah.
That are amazing, that are making baby powder
mm-hmm.
now in my little kitchen that I have. And I have this little team again that,
yeah.
I'm like been out of that space for
yeah.
a long time. But I had a customer yesterday that ordered a whole bunch of stuff, and we're packing all these orders, and this one order was like way bigger.
Mm-hmm.
So like, who is this? Like, it's
yeah.
kind of fun. We're like looking up this person
yeah.
and we're like, why did they order so much stuff? And
yeah.
So I'm like, I'm going to call her. It was like me and Aaron and Alyssa and Shell sitting around. I'm like, I'm going to just call her
because
yeah. we have her number. So I called her and got her voicemail and left a message. And she called me back. And it was this older woman from like New Jersey. And we talked for like 15 minutes and that's was so cool.
Yeah.
And she was blown away that we were a new company. She thought that we had been around for a long time and she runs a Pottery Barn. She works for Pottery Barn Kids and she sells all kinds of like, nursery stuff.
Yeah.
And usually working for them, when somebody buys a bunch of stuff, they usually just get like a thank you card. But she wanted to, she loves her customers and she wants to give them a gift when they buy these nursery things. So she's like, I bought a bunch of your stuff because I saw the founder video on Facebook.
That's
and
awesome.
It like just wanted to, I bought a bunch to give to my customers. And,
yeah.
And so we just had a great conversation. I got off the phone. I'm like, that was so fun. It's like,
you're like, that's why I'm doing this.
Yeah, that's why I'm doing this. And then JD talked to a gal today on the phone. She, her address, her mailing address is Park Avenue. And so we're like, wow, what is, who is this lady and why? And she had emailed because she had some questions about her order. So JD called her and talked to her for a half hour. And she's like, this great lady, her sister's some famous, you know, real estate gal in New York. And this lady was like a wealth of information for boutiques in New York. She's like, I have the keys to the kingdom for you guys.
Wow.
So it's like these fun little things. You know, we get these random follows on Instagram.
All from my kitchen in Redding, California.
Yeah, I know. Well, here's a funny thing. And this is funny for people to hear because on Saturday, well, Friday night, we got an order. You know, at Shopify, it's still like fun. It's like ding and you get an order.
Yeah.
So it was like late Friday night and I saw this order and the lady had picked UPS 2-day shipping. So I'm like, dang, she ordered this for, she needs it.
Like ASAP.
Yeah. And it's, and UPS ships on Saturdays, but USPS doesn't. So usually we pack orders every day and we try to get them to US. Most of the orders are USPS. Mm-hmm. So we try to drop them off by like 3 o'clock. But if it's UPS, we have to take a different space.
Mm.
And so, but there's never really UPS. But this one came in and we don't usually ship anything out from the weekend till Monday because USPS isn't open. So it's like 11 p.m. We get this order, 2-day shipping, UPS. So I'm like, well, we can ship that tomorrow. We had plans as a family to go to Lassen and go and hike. So we were like going to get up early, go hike, you know, at Lassen. So here it is. We leave our house in the morning, 7:30, 8 o'clock on Saturday morning. I'm like, we got to stop at we call it the Maybe James Kitchen. We got to stop at the kitchen. I got to pack this order. So I'm like, run in. I fill this gal's order, pack it. We do this handwritten note on every order right now.
Nice.
So I handwrite this note to her, telling her appreciate her order, pack it all up. Then Erin and I, she's like, I saw a UPS drop box downtown. Let's go check it out. So we're like trying to find this UPS drop box downtown. The kids are screaming. People are hungry. And then they're like, I don't want to go hiking. We're driving around with this freaking package.
Yeah.
And then the drop box we get to has graffiti all over it. And we're like, does UPS even know this is here
like
anymore?
Here?
Like, I don't want to drop this thing in here. So then we go to the UPS store on Hilltop. They don't open until 9. So we have to sit in the car for like 10 minutes
more
waiting.
More kids screaming.
I told Erin we're on our way there. I'm like, do you think that, like, how many brands do you get targeted on Instagram and you buy like this random t-shirt or something and the same thing's happening on the other end? Like, it looks like a legit like business that's been around for a long time, but it's like some random mom, just hustling. People are screaming. We want to go hiking.
Yeah.
And so
I'm just trying to find a box.
Yeah. We're like driving all over town to try to fill this one person's order.
Yeah.
And we drop it, finally drop it. And then we go and hike. And it's just like that. It's chaos, but it's fun.
Yeah.
That we're like at that stage.
Like still stage of appreciation.
Like, people have no idea on the other end that that's what took place to get them their, you know, body butter.
You better enjoy it.
Yeah, you better like it.
We sacrificed our hiking trip for you.
So no, we hiked and it was fun.
Yeah.
But
that's awesome.
So
I mean, I think it's like cool to just see like revisit those growing stages again, you know, like, and it, I think it's a little bit different because you come now back with so much experience and
for
so
sure.
much difference of calculated risk and how to manage your money. And, you know, now it's just kind of like a little bit of fun space, but I think also, like I said, you're disciplined enough that you're like, it's a totally different, like, animal for you in that. What's the 5-10 year vision for it?
It's a good question. I think my goal really is to dump the next 5 years of my life, just to pour my life into it for the next 5 years and see what we can build. I would love to try to have this like audacious goal of like this number of value to be worth in 5 years.
Yeah.
And so that's like, I want to, and we're also saying to get to that goal, we will have served 1 million babies. And so we're like, saying that internally, we're like 1 million happy babies is the goal.
That's awesome.
And so that's like, I really don't have like, it's kind of like Dutch Bros when I opened, like I didn't really have an end in sight. I'm just like, yeah. Well, we're just going to.
It's like, you kind of know when you not arrived, because it's like, you can always make Dutch Bros better or sustain the culture so that it becomes still a product that somebody thinks coffee, they think Dutch Bros and everything like that. But it's still like, it's always like, I think that's like the hard part with entrepreneur is like the sky's the limit. You can go, you can work yourself to death. You can do whatever you want. So it's like trying to, you almost like know when you fulfilled that self or that space for yourself to be like, okay, I've accomplished what I wanted to accomplish. Yeah. And now I can kind of know, like I'm in coast mode of like now it's arriving in the hands and like all my grind and hustle is now a snowball effect.
Yeah.
People think this and they think my product kind of thing. For those that don't know about Maybe Jane's, what's so special about your product? Yeah,
so it was really born out of necessity for our oldest child, Beckett. When he was born in 2009, he had croup really bad, and we took him to the hospital. We didn't know what we were doing, and they prescribed like the steroid shot for him, and he got this really bad diaper rash, and it was terrible. Mm-hmm. And you know, as new parents, you don't know. There's not like a manual that comes with your kid. You know, you don't know what you're doing. We're trying to Google things, and so I just run to the grocery store, and it's like overwhelming. There's all these pastes and lotions and stuff, and I'm just like, all this stuff is crazy. Mm-hmm. I bought all of it. And we're trying all these things and I'm looking at ingredients. I'm just like, this is crazy. This is like, seems way overcomplicated for
a
diaper rash. Yeah. It seems weird to me to put paste on something that already is a moisture kind of thing. And so I started Googling like homeopathic, you know, home remedies and made my own thing. And then I started like studying, like nerding out on it probably too much at the time, of like anti-inflammatories and other ingredients that I can add in to hopefully, you know, make it better. And it worked. It worked really well. And so then we just used it on all our kids, and we just always had baby powder around. And I use it all the time, like on the kids. Like almost every time I change a diaper, I just put a little in there. So we never had a problem.
Yeah.
And then other people would use it, and you know, it would be random times. Like we'd be traveling and Aaron would see a mom changing a baby screaming, and she's like, "Hey, did your baby have a diaper rash?" It's like awkward, you know? And she's like, "My husband makes diaper powder." And they're like, I'm like, waving, you know, "Hey, that's me.
That's me. We're over here."
So that's how the whole thing kind of started. And about 5 years ago, it kind of just dawned on me. Like I wanted to see if I could challenge myself and create something successful. Bigger than Redding. But I didn't know what it was, and I didn't want it to be about money. And Dutch Bros was never about the money. Like we just opened it and had fun with people and wanted to make an impact, and the success followed.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to create something that wasn't about money, but I didn't know what that was. I'm just like, I'm just going to leave space in my brain to try to come up with something. And one of our managers at the time, Lauren, she had a baby, and she was talking to Aaron, same thing, like, "Hey, Leo has a terrible diaper rash. I can't find anything." She's like, "You gotta have Rez make you some baby powder." So I made her some and gave it to her. And she called like 2 days later, and she's like, "What in the world was that? I've never had anything that worked like that worked."
Yeah.
And so when she said that, I looked at Aaron and I'm like, maybe this is it. Maybe we should build a baby like product skincare line. Brand and start with our powder, because it works really well. The story is great. You know, this dad that created this product, I've been making it for my own kids and everybody else's kids. And there's no dads really in the baby, you know, product world. There's starting to be more now, but it hasn't historically
totally
been.
Taken
it's all
off.
Moms, which is great, but there hasn't been dads. So I felt like that story of like an involved dad. And I think that that's important in our message too, is that like, the dad doesn't just have to be the guy that's like gone all day or whatever. Like you can be, you can share in this, just like Aaron and I share in our Dutch Bros
stuff. Changing the diapers,
Like I've changed so many more diapers than Aaron, because I loved it. It's like
Aaron's like, it's your...
that was my thing. And so it's like,
try out your powder. This is for the powder.
So I think that part of the story is like, you know, showing that you can share in all of this stuff, that it doesn't just have to be the mom doing all this up in the middle of the night doing everything. The dad can be involved. So that's kind of how it started. So that led me down this crazy journey of all of a sudden like, all right, well, what are we getting? That's a good idea, but like, what is our brand even going to be? I want it, like, quickly was like, I want it to be a luxury, like high end, clean baby skincare. And so then I started, our nanny at the time, she had really bad eczema. And then my second born child, Rally, he had like KP and just really dry skin. And I have sensitive skin. Mm-hmm. So I'm like started ordering all these products, like these raw ingredients to make lotions. Mm-hmm. And we have like cacao butter and shea butter and all vitamin E oils, like boxes of products showing on our porch.
It's like, what is going on?
Oh my gosh. I'm like in the kitchen at midnight. You know, it's like Breaking Bad in there. I'm like cooking up, stirring all these pots and like, you know, boiling things and making lotions.
Yeah.
And I had all these sample things in our fridge with dates on them and
Christmas
testing.
Gift, you get baby powder.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm like, well, I kind of nailed the baby powder. And so then I'm like, well, we need to have another product.
Yeah.
So that's when I started trying to make like lotion, like a body butter. So I was made some good stuff, but then I'm just like, if I'm going to build a huge brand, like, I can't make this in my kitchen.
Yeah.
You know, and so I reached out to a big lab in Orange County and it was right at the beginning of COVID actually. And fortunately, no big company was making anything. And so they like had some free time to talk to me. And so I like slid in right at the right time where they were like, yeah, we'll talk to you, you know? And so we went back and forth for a couple of years actually developing like the body butter that we have now. And so, yeah, it's
such a cool, like, you know, like you said, I love that the story behind it isn't just like, we're just here to make money. It's like, there's passion behind it. Cause your kids, you know, you equally saw the success out of it. So I think anytime you have like a brand where you have like the result and that's like your anthem of like, hey, I know this works. This isn't just me just whipping up stuff and hoping that it works. It's like, to me, I feel like that's more of a powerful message than just somebody who's just like, hey, check out my new like essential oil, like lotion that might help you. I'm not dogging on that. That's great. Yeah. But you know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's a little bit more authentic, truth to like somebody who can say, you had the problem, you solved it. Let me see if your problem
well,
you know, solves me.
It's like when you're talking about the why, I think it helps you through those hard times.
Yeah.
Because if you're doing it for the money, you're probably going to quit a lot quicker than if you have a different why.
Yeah.
If your whole why is like, I got to make a bunch of money.
Yeah.
Then the minute you run into like not making money, you're going to want to quit.
And yeah. I don't have the packaging obviously, but I love that inside your box is like your family. Like it's just like, it's a reminder every time you stamp, probably ship. It's just like, it's for my kids. It's for my family. It's to reach a million babies. Like is like your goal and stuff.
Aaron and I were talking about yesterday. And like I was saying, we hand write like a note for everybody and it's kind of fun. It's like very therapeutic when you're packaging people's orders and you're in there all by yourself. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's late at night and I'm just packing these orders and looking at these printing labels and I'm like, wow, you know, Lisa in, you know, some little town in Florida. Mm-hmm. And I have no idea who this person is. I have no idea their situation, but like they took the time to buy our product and I'm like writing them this note. And I've been like, as I'm doing that, I'm like trying to be very present of like, man, this is going to somebody's going to use this on their baby and it's going to like help them.
Yeah.
And so it's been pretty cool. Yeah.
That's
it's fun.
So cool. Well, if you are listening and you need baby products, or even like you said, you can use it for yourself. Like it's not all just baby.
No, the body butter is actually amazing.
Yeah.
I use it.
Dylan's like super sensitive skin. So yeah, I'll be actually really curious.
Yeah, for sure.
But we're really excited to obviously try it. And then obviously just hear your story behind it, just cause it's been so cool to watch you just transition and see different. I think like what's kind of cool is like maybe Jane's, this might be a little bit bold to say, is just a softer side of the Reznor family. It's just like the family side that I think people get to see it just a different layer than you see with Dutch Bros. Cause you have 300 people that kind of like you're still the heartbeat of it and people know like the Rezners, but it's just like, this kind of gives you like a different, you know, season of your life that you, I think are so passionate about, which is family and you get to do it together, which is really cool. So
for sure.
If you, need baby line products, hit up maybe James and thanks again, dude, for,
for
coming on
me.
Our podcast episode and
it's
excited to see you reach a million babies. So
thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me.
Peace.